You are listening to Jaya Ashmore. You can find hundreds of meditations and talks on my websites, jayaashmore.org, jayaashmore.org, as well as opendharma.org, opendharma.org. All the recordings are offered in the tradition of generosity or dana, and your gifts are welcome. Thank you for listening. Are there any questions or anything to share in this moment? Could you hear? Being with the exhalation, she used the word watching the exhalation, observing the exhalation. She notices, she observes, that when she observes the exhalation, there's a giving direction to the exhalation that goes with the observing of it. And how about this thing of not giving direction? Is that a correct summary of the question? What do you hear in the way I summarize you? It's funny. Good. Yeah. To let the old approach fall apart takes time. But that there can be observing how my observing is. My observing is giving direction to. Something noticed that today. Is there an exhalation when I'm not observing? We think, probably. What I find is that gradually friendliness develops, comes forth. Friendliness. The tensions that are unnecessary start to get tired. We notice those tensions are not always active. And so sometimes an experience that is the exhalation with less being directed. And the feeling of that, the felt experience of that comes across. It has a certain quality that each person can feel in our own way. And this is gradually trust. The exhalation can be felt. And that program of giving direction to what I observe and pretending that I'm just observing, pretending also to myself, this is observing, but actually something else noticed, this is directing. And gradually with friendliness being allowed to come forth, inwardly and outwardly, friendliness, we start to build our receptivity to friendliness. Which means going through the sense of meeting friendliness and then being scared of it. Because it's an openness, it's a non-duality, and then again, naturally opening, receiving, experiencing. It can be a natural process into, towards friendliness. And not just where we can feel friendly to where we feel more powerful, but also friendly when we feel small. Vulnerable, etc. And gradually we start to really feel that that directing observing, which is not really observing, or not only observing, hurts us. And when we start to feel that my own way of observing hurts, it's not wrong, but it hurts, then it's the beginning of that starting to fall apart. And then there is the out-breath feeling itself. The experience offering itself and receiving of it. So it's an intimately intimately non-dual experience. And so we had such a wonderful note this morning. Unfortunately, the person didn't put their name on it, so we couldn't reply. So here, I will reply. Something like, I keep hearing the message that something amazing is going to happen. Is it? I'm worried. So something amazing happens. There in this room is willingness and honesty in human beings. This is amazing. So the honesty and willingness to notice that the observing is not really observing. Something that wants actually to follow life is trying to direct it with the wrong instruction manual. Isn't it? About 5 or 6 years ago, I was in New York City for a few days, and a close friend of mine very generously gifted me an acupuncture treatment with her acupuncture and Sufi master. Well, it was a close colleague, friend, teacher, who is a master of a kind of mystical Taoist acupuncture, as well as being in a Sufi lineage. And I had some connection with this woman, Laura, the acupuncturist, but I hadn't met her before in person. And so I arrived with my 3-year-old son at the apartment that we were borrowing for the treatment. And my friend, who was the connection, said, okay, I'll take your son to Central Park while you have the treatment. And I knew that I had a good connection with Laura, and I knew she had a team of people that worked with her in the treatments. And that's about all I knew, more or less. So, but then all of a sudden, I'm in an apartment. I don't know the name of the person whose apartment it is. I don't really even know exactly where I am in New York City. My son and my friend are out in Central Park with the polar bears and popsicles. and I'm naked in some lovely sheets in a room somewhere with a bunch of people that I don't know. All of a sudden, I was like, what? But I had enough trust with the friend who gifted me this to know this is a gift and not a trick. But for the first, I don't know how long, of this very long, like 2 or 3 hour treatment, my mind was just thinking about the most silly things. And it was just so wonderful because Laura, the acupuncture master, Sufi master, just said, I reported to her, my mind is doing this. And she just said, our mutual friend told me about a poetry of Kabir. And she just told me something I had taught our mutual friend back to me. And this is the poem. Something like, lion and tiger yoked to a plow, growing rice in the field. So our mind that has all that wildness and power and instinct to get what it actually needs is working too hard, tied to something that doesn't fit it, to grow food it can't eat. So that was my mind in that moment. And I could just recognize, something in me can recognize that there's a deep meeting going on. And my mind is like, ah, and that's all. It is important, both, that the mind going, ah, this is deep, this is meeting, this is real, this is life, this is amazing, to notice that observing has been directing and not actually being with, or not only being with. Also amazing that even so, some more honest, more real observing can happen out of that. I can notice that there's something manipulated in the observing. So it can be very important to experience that even the mind dissociating in the presence of an important meeting or practice or whatever isn't very important. It's not a big deal. And, it's not a big deal. And it's, like you said, funny that the lion and tiger are plowing. Because so often, the resistance, the not wanting it to be so, is where the pressure starts to happen from. Where the lack of flow comes from. Just simply that I don't accept that my mind is freaked out. And then we freak out more. Not giving more importance to the funny mind, the funny habits of mind, not giving more importance to them than they have. They don't direct, actually. they're not the directors. And even the mind, the plowing mind, turning it over and over again and again and again for something it can't eat. The mind that goes towards being occupied with something that's actually uninteresting and unnourishing. That actually can be an indication that somewhere else depth of process is happening. Does that make sense? Or is there a question about that? Question or makes sense? Question. Sometimes when the mind is plowing, getting busy with something that it doesn't need to be busy with, instead of it being an indication that I have a problem with my thinking, it can just be an indication that there's something of importance happening, and this part of me is a little freaked out.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, but many times. Sometimes it's even encouraging to have nonsense thoughts. Sometimes. So we talked about listen to your friend, and we talked about finding a diamond by chance, just to childlike finding. And it can be helpful for each one of us to really articulate, to really feel, what is the diamond, what is the friend for you? Not as one little thing only. There might be, as in Rumi's poetry, the friend shows up inside, outside, in a remembered other line of poetry from another century. But what I mean by articulate, getting to know, what is the diamond, what is the friend? Like with Robert Fripp's experience of music, he suddenly jumped up, realizing music is always available and present, never pushy. Diamond, friend, music. Rumi has a poem where he says, can I get there? Where the deer pounces on the lion, where the one I'm after's after me. Can I get there? Where the deer pounces, it means jumps on, but really jumps on, tigers. I'm gonna eat you, jumps on. Where the deer pounces on the lion, where the one I'm after's after me. One way to start to get a feeling from your own experience of what is diamond, what is friend, what is music for you, is to notice what you're after as honestly as possible. And to feel how often it's a whole complex of being after that thing that I don't have, with the emphasis on the not having it, right? So I want you to have some time to feel what it is that you're after and in what way it's a complex that's mostly about how you don't have it. And so you hardly even know what it is you don't have anymore. You just know you don't have it. You can really easily feel how much you don't have it. And what was it again? And getting to know also along the way how that works in you. So if it's like, oh, they have it and I don't, or now I have it, maybe if I do repeat that again, a little bit superstitious kind of complex could be. But mostly how the occupation of not having is so occupying. There's so much plowing to do. It's an occupation I can be busy with, but it's not actually connected to any need. It's not actually connected to any opening in me. There's no way that I can eat rice as a lion. So for as a human being, I'm busy plowing, digging up how I don't have, how I don't, working so hard because I don't have. And the not having is this excuse. Let me work really hard until I get that, and then. If only I had, then. If only I didn't have, then. If I didn't have so much anger, so a lack of peace, I have so much anger. It can happen that way also. There's an abundance of problem, and we know the problem well. We know the wrongness. Sometimes there are fields that are used and then not used for a long time. So in England, there were fields that were used to feed cattle, to feed cows. And then the cows were not there for a long time. And apparently wildflowers that had been thought to have disappeared from the island grew. Not from plowing. So it's a similar kind of movement. Shift means kind of softly or smoothly changing or moving from over here to over here. Or I mentioned, I think it was during this week, retreat and not the weekend, that there's a picture and you see the foreground and then the background, this shift. Not much seems to be happening, but then actually it's significant. So when we notice that amazing honesty and willingness to notice, that I'm engaging with my experience with a sense of wrongness, problem, lack, too much of something wrong, or too little of something, the diamond, the friend, the music. Does that make sense so far? It's okay? The knowing that this is a lack of, or that this doesn't feel right, something in me can know that not feeling peace, that wanting to meet the friend or the music, and not meeting the friend, the lack of friend, the subject is friend. And we can start to come out of the subject being the lack. And what was it again? In our own experience, okay, subject is friend. What even tiny little bit of friend experience is now? And if not now, then in the past that I remember feeling. How was it in my body? It's a simple shift, but it's a shift from something easy to feel to something almost impossible to feel. Something that we're used to feeling, that we feel obliged to feel, the lack, the problem, the wrong. We're supposed to, we think, be plowing, be engaged in that. To stay in touch with the subject inside and feel your own experience of friend, diamond, music, meeting. We can notice in ourselves when the mind says, okay, I feel a pain in my knee, or there's anger in my mind, or here's this thought again, the typical kinds of things that we'll think we'll take as a problem or wrong, a sign of wrongness. And we're not trying to say it's right, necessarily. But when there's a thought and we kind of get into like, oh, it's not okay, a weakness happens. It becomes awful. Instead of just anger in the mind, pain in the knee, repetitive thought or whatever. Worry about such and such a thing. When we say, I don't know, right or wrong, something is more stable. When I investigate what is the wish, or what is that knowing, okay, lack of friend, what that means, that's like the tail end of love of friend. And I get interested in friend experience. Not pretending, but whatever little bit, whatever little trace of friend experience. Any questions so far? Friend could be confusing because it sounds like it's another person.
It's not an object.
Right, exactly. It's not an object. Sometimes experience of friend is there is an outer situation with a certain chemistry. And it may have to do with people, including myself. Sometimes it's more inner, that really deep inner voice or whatever, deep inner place.
How would you distinguish between the sense of lack, which is where there's a plowing that isn't getting anywhere, and the sense of lack that might be the tail end of an appetite for the wildflowers or the friend?
So how to distinguish between a sense of lack that is like a plowing not going towards food, or a sense of lack that might be the tail end of the wildness that is receptive to the flowers coming up or meeting the friend? It's hard to think of a lack that isn't the second kind and the first kind. Which means we have a lot of ways to work with this shift from a sense of lack to our own opening, our own receiving, not over-breezing. One time I was walking with one of my teachers in the mountains and another friend. Some of you will have heard me tell this before, because it was one of it the moment itself was like wildflowers coming out of the ground. Oh. Something so simple and without any fireworks and so important. And we were doing a trek in the Himalayas, and it was going to be a few days, and we were also fasting. Not completely fast. Indian fasting means you can have chai and sweets and potatoes cooked on the fire, but not actual like rice and dal and roti. They have twice a year this kind of fast. Fast means, in Hebrew, what's fast?
Tzom.
So sometimes, maybe, there are factors in the chemistry of a friend or a diamond or a music situation. Something that helps there be receptivity that we wouldn't like find in a textbook. Like, do this weird fast where you're having lots of sugar and carbohydrates in the Himalayas. And between the three of us, we only had two backpacks, so we took turns. One of the backpacks was really heavy also. But don't put it in a textbook for you to do. That's just how it happened. Anyway, we were walking along, and there was this very picturesque, cute farmhouse with an orange tree with oranges in the Himalayas, and I was surprised by that. Not like, whoa, but surprised. And I was looking at the tree like, oh. Wow. Maybe I said something, maybe I didn't. Looking at the tree, wow. And my teacher, who at that time was just my friend, I didn't know he was also my teacher, said, let everything love you. And it went in. And it comes back out. Can I get there where the deer pounces on the lion? Where what I'm after is after me? If we can feel the shift of chemistry from I don't have, I've got to get, even the best thing in the world, I've got to get. Everyone would agree that's such a good thing to get. But if I've got to get, how is that chemistry, and where's the receptivity for having or being? And what helps there be the shift from going after and receiving, having, being had, letting it come? Does that make sense? Does it sound easy or hard?
Sounds restful.
It sounds restful and easy or hard? What'd you say?
It sounds easy.
Well, it's very easy. Very, very easy. But we're not programmed. We're not.
Say I'm not. Just for now, say I'm not.
I'm not.
What?
Sometimes I'm not receptive. You're talking about becoming grounded and being able to see all the other phenomena that are coming towards you. So you have a choice.
And in
and
you.
And you don't have to control that what you're after, or that what you're after is controlling you. If you let, if you allow all these phenomena, the birds that are singing, that are chirping,
and inside you.
Whatever.
And inside you. And inside you. The garden.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then it's so easy because you won't be controlled. But I'm more than often obsessive about and controlling. This is the right thing. And then I forget that there's a ground.
I wish I'd handed her the microphone before she started. Yes. I'll try. I'm just letting it sink in.
Please.
Thank you. Take your time. If I want something?
If I want something very, very, very badly, I have a dialogue only with that object at this moment. At this moment, only that object exists for me. And I don't notice that there are so many other phenomena coming at me. A phenomena can be a bird in the sky. Right now, there are, right at this moment, there's the birds outside, there's someone making a noise over there. There is, there's so many things that all that is inhibited in order to allow my obsession with this one thing that I want at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
If I become grounded and I let myself rest and have my feet, both feet on the ground, and realize that I'm part of nature, that these other phenomena that are inhibited will then come, I will be receptive towards them, and so many new ideas will spring up that I wasn't thinking about because they were hidden, they were concealed, And then I become much, so much richer with so many new ideas of the truth coming.
And the control thing?
And then, well, I didn't talk about it anymore because I'm not in control anymore of that one thought, or that thought is not in control of me anymore, and I'm free.
Yeah.
I'm liberated for the moment, because in 5 minutes, there'll be one of these phenomena that will take over, and then it will start all over again.
And what makes it start over again? You were saying very clearly. You were saying clearly what makes it take over again. You said it's very easy, but it's very hard because I want to control.
Because I want to control, because I'm a human being, and I need to control,
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you need to control? Or do you feel a compulsion towards trying to control? Does it? Does it? Or does it give rice?
She's. No, it gives a sense of safety. To know
check that. We want it to give a sense of safety. We assume it will give a sense of safety. Does it give a sense of safety to try to control? To believe I have a lack of control and I need to control, I want to control.
No, not that. But to feel, just to feel that no, to feel that you can choose, that is a sense of safety. That the choice is yours, that the choice is mine at any time. That is safety.
And is that the same as control?
No.
No. Is it the opposite of trying to control?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So be grounded.
Yes. Thank you.
Eventually it's the opposite.
Okay. Tell me. We'll go into the word choosing in a second. So she's saying, I'm not sure that feeling that there's more than one thing in the world and that I'm not obliged to always be stuck with this one thing is freeing for her. And she called it having a choice, being able to choose. So in that context, I'm saying that opening and feeling that it's not just me and this enemy, me and this lack, me and this wrongness in the world. There's a whole world. There's life and I'm part of life. I'm just part of nature. So, but yeah, if now we can say, okay, but choosing, thinking that I have the control, that I have the control to choose, is also tricky. Yes.
We can also ask.
Wait one sec. I want to make sure that what
the
do you
ability,
have?
Ability, not the control. The ability to choose.
The ability to choose. Still, the word. I understand the question about the word choose. You're talking about receptivity. The ability to be receptive is what I hear you saying. That something else could come up that I haven't planned. That's not in my control, that I agree with,
mm-hmm.
that I am willing to follow through with. Yeah. So that kind of choice, it's in the context, the way that you're speaking, for me it's okay, the word. But if we would then say, oh, I am free to choose and that's my freedom, that we have a problem there. So tell me, what's your Okay. Yes, Michal.
No, I just said that we can also ask who is choosing.
Yeah. Could you hear?
No.
We can, okay. Ah, sorry, I forgot about that. I think I covered the thing about choosing. And then Michalji said, we can ask who is choosing, which is similar kind of opening. Okay, so is it easy or hard to let go of control? It's not actually letting go of control. Letting go of the project of trying to be in control because I have a problem or a lack or something's wrong. Is it easy or hard? Was it you that said both? Any more to say?
Try to simplify things, to see it as simple as it is. So it's kind of both, like duality and non-duality. I hope I made myself clear.
I'm not sure. Let me say what you've said so that I don't forget later. For her, simplicity is a good word. Like, trying to connect with simplicity, with simple things, but then actually being in anything simple, like having a baby, going on a walk, drinking water, it's complex also. And I'm not sure if I followed the rest of the... So if simplicity is sort of a guiding word, then trying to connect to the simple, this is a great example of paradox of practice. So Ruth's word was ground and being grounded. And then she's recommending to everyone be grounded because it's so good, so helpful for you. And then simplicity is your ground. So what's helpful for the meeting with the friend and the diamond? Ground could be, simplicity could be. But then in trying to be in simplicity, do simple things, be simple with simple things, not only is drinking water so complex, the water that's been around the planet we don't know how many times and through how many bodies, and here it's going again in and out, then mentally what it means to me to drink water, etc. And then also the obstacles along the way to just being simple and what I do with the obstacle. Is that, am I reporting back what you said so far? Okay. The title of the poem that says, "Can I get there?" where the deer pounces on the lion, where what I'm after is after me, is Blocked Road. And it's a poem talking to the friend, saying, why are you blocking me? You lead me here, then you lead me there, and you stop me. So even our relationship to an obstacle can be rich and not simplistic. We can notice, okay, I want to connect with simplicity, and it's so helpful when I try generally to connect with simplicity, and I have some idea of simplicity also that's helping to guide me. And I remember feeling simplicity. And then there's some obstacle. And that could easily trick me into feeling lack of simplicity and lose touch with simplicity and get into, like, how do I deal with this obstacle to my simplicity? My simplicity. My ground. Can we kind of stay tuned to a more subtle, more inner sense and love of simplicity in the face of an obstacle? Can we notice when I go into a sense of lack of my way of connecting to the friend? Simplicity, ground, temporarily, next year it might be air, and complexity, diversity. So then the obstacle, I can't find my simplicity, I can't find my ground. Why I want the simplicity and ground is because it facilitates connection with the friend. The richness of life, the diamond. And then the obstacle teaches me to tune to an even more subtle, more inner, more deep love of simplicity and friend that's not going to be stopped by the obstacle. It's not going to let the obstacle take my attention away from connecting to simplicity and friend. It teaches me then a kind of finer, more demanding, more simple maybe, less mental maybe, more felt maybe. What was it that this was in the way of? Oh yeah, simplicity. I can feel how I'm getting complex about how I'm going to deal with the obstacle to my simplicity. And then it's funny again. And it's like, oh yeah, simplicity and friend are my subject. And my scent. My scent, like, I'm on that trail. Does that make sense? And the felt experience, subtle felt experience of what I'm after, staying true, staying connected to that subtle felt experience of what I'm after, starts to kind of turn us from trying to get to being receptive to it having me. Coming into the fact there's some element of simplicity and friend already here that I can remember or feel in my body, or a very subtle physical sensation. Or, as Ruth was saying, a good idea comes that I couldn't have had if I were trying to get rid of this obstacle, which is trying to use control, trying to be in control. Being in control means staying loyal to the idea, rather than staying loyal to what is my hunger, what is my calling. So the obstacle refines the seeking so that the seeking becomes receptive. Experiencing the felt sense of friend, diamond, music, in your own word, metaphor, experience, etc. Dance, nature, simplicity around our help to what? What's hard about it is what I mentioned in the beginning. Sometimes in the presence of the friend, in the presence of meeting life, we freak out because it's an experience of non-duality. It's an experience where my control is obviously irrelevant, my little pet control. All that plowing is irrelevant. I'm not even going to go harvest the rice. Let the birds eat it. It's confronting, it's shocking, it's humbling, it's wonderful. No more plowing. Just sniffing and pouncing. And then that focus of pouncing is what makes us start to be receptive to being pounced on. We let ourselves be so into simplicity towards feeling, what would you say simplicity helps you feel or connect with? It's already here.
Like, what is now?
What, and what would you say? There's so much that's already here that I already have.
Love.
Love, for example.
Life.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll end with a few more lines from Rumi. What is love? Gratitude. That's what you just said. What is hidden in our chests? So Ruth talked about the creativity, the possible movements of life that were concealed. Just like the wildflowers were hidden in the field when the field was overused, or maybe we could say even improperly used. And when we stopped improperly using the field, that's all. Wildflowers came up. When we stopped overgrazing the field and pounding it with the hooves of the cows too much, when we stopped that, what is hidden in our chests? Laughter. What else? Compassion. Compassion. Let the beloved be a hat pulled down firmly on my head.
Why a hat?
Why a hat? I can only guess, but I'm willing to guess. It feels to me like two things I could say now. The poem?
Yes.
Sure. It's part of a poem. What is love? Gratitude. What is hidden in our chests? Laughter. What else? Compassion. Let the beloved be a hat pulled down firmly on my head. Do you still want me to say something about your question? May all beings be at peace. Continuously in a song of aliveness, calling us into the momentum towards awakening for all, including ourselves.